Little things mean a lot. As many years ago, more than I want to admit, back in 1953, there was a popular song. It was written by a woman named Edith Lindemann and a man named Carl Stoltz. It was called Little Things Mean a Lot. I'd like to start again with our text, which sets the pace for this wonderful message that God gave to us in that song that she just sang. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. That song, Little Things Mean a Lot. It's some wonderful words, especially sharing between a man and a woman, but I believe there's some general principles also involved. So I'm going to just share the words of this song here today. It said, blow me a kiss across the room. Say I look nice when I'm not. Touch my hair as you pass my chair. Little things mean a lot. I would like to also add the fact that all the husbands here should be careful and follow these words, all right? Going on, it said, give me your arm as we cross the street. Call me at 6 on the dot. A line a day when you're far away. Little things mean a lot. Don't have to buy me diamonds or pearls, champagne, sables or such. I never cared much for diamond pearls, because honestly, honey, they just cost money. Give me your hand when I've lost my way. Give me your shoulder to cry on. Whether the day is bright or gray, give me your heart to rely on. Send me the warmth of a secret smile to show me you haven't forgot. For always and ever, now and forever, little things mean a lot. Some of you here may remember that song. I'm not going to ask because you'll be admitting your age too. You might even remember the tune and everything. You know, it's a little reminder, isn't it? A real reminder. Little things do mean an awful lot, and sometimes we forget that. One couple found out the hard way just how true that statement is. They were getting married, went to the baker, ordered the cake. And as Christians, they chose a Bible verse to be put on the top of the cake. 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Of course, King James was using Roman numerals. Well, something happened at the bakery. On the day of the wedding, the couple was horrified when they saw their cake. The Roman numeral had been left off the text. And instead of being 1 John 4, verse 18, it was John 4, verse 18, which says, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Would you say, little things mean a lot? As I did research on this message, I discovered there are many quotations on this thought, little things mean a lot. I'm just going to share a few of them here with you today. I believe they have each a message for us. Here's one, John Wooden. It says, it's the little details that are vital. Little things make big things happen. And here's another fellow by the name of Gibran. A little knowledge that acts is worth infinitely more than much knowledge that is idle. Here's another. Conan Doyle said, any truth is better than indefinite doubt. And here's a good statement. Enjoy the little things in life. One day you will realize they are the big things. Great things are done by a series of small things brought together. Vincent van Gogh, and another one by him. It has long been an axiom of mine that the little things are infinitely the most important. William Arthur Ward, A warm smile is the universal language of kindness. One of the most important keys to success is having the discipline to do what you know you should do, even when you don't feel like doing it. Here's another one. It's not a single great heroic deed that defines who you really are. It's the little things you do day by day that count. Each of these is a sermon, isn't it? Another one. A great life isn't about great, huge things. It's about small things that make a big difference. And then, this is from Paul Meyer. Experience proves that most time is wasted, not in hours, but in minutes. A bucket with a small hole in the bottom gets just as empty as a bucket that is deliberately kicked over. So I guess you could say it very truly. Little things don't mean a lot. They mean everything. And there have been people who have experienced the reality of this statement and these statements. There was among a man who was at sea in a big ship. He got seasick. There he was, confined to his quarters. He just felt, couldn't do anything. He wanted to do something for God even. Well, this man who was sick heard that another man had fallen overboard. And he thought, oh, I'm so sick, I can't do anything to save him. Is there anything I can do? And then he just found there was a light there on a table. He got it and he held it up to the porthole. The drowning man was saved. Well, when this passenger finally got over his seasickness, he got up there on the deck and he happened to meet the fellow that had been saved. And he said, how did it happen? And the fellow said, I was going down the second time and just about ready for the last time. And then I was able to put my hand above the water and someone showed a light on my hand. And they grabbed it and pulled me into the lifeboat. Wow. A man caught by the hand, pulled into the lifeboat, all because of a little light shone down. Small thing, holding a light. But it saved a man's life. You know, you and I cannot do some great thing, but we can hold up the light. Some poor perishing drunkard who may be won to Christ and delivered from destruction can be our goal. You know, I believe we need to do what Jesus says. Let your light, what? So shine. Hold up the torch of salvation to these dark homes. Hold up Christ so that people can know him as not only just the Savior of the world, but as their own personal Savior. Folks, little things mean a lot. It was back in 1970, I believe it was, a long time ago. I was conducting evangelistic meetings in a town called McCook, Nebraska. We'd come to the last night of the meetings. And as I always did, I would have an altar call. We'd had several people who had made their decision, been baptized, but this is my final time to be able to give an invitation for an individual to accept Jesus and surrender their life to them, to him. Well, I made the altar call. Waited and waited, and finally, a little girl, just 10 years old, came walking down the aisle. And right after she came down the aisle, a big, tall man stepped out of the pew and walked down the aisle. That big, tall man was my dad. He'd been away from the church for many years. They just happened to be visiting her. They lived in Michigan. And God brought it all together. And I had the privilege of baptizing my own dad there in Lincoln, Nebraska. All because of a little girl walking down the aisle. Little things mean a lot. Once again, from ESV translation, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Wow. You know, this verse has both a promise and a warning, doesn't it? Being faithful in a little leads to an increase of blessings and accomplishments. On the other hand, being unfaithful in a little leads to a separation from God and eventually being lost. I like how a favorite author of mine put it. It's one of Satan's most successful devices to lead men to the commission of little sins, to blind the mind to the danger of little indulgences, little digressions from the plainly stated requirements of God. Many who would shrink with horror from some great transgression are led to look upon sin in little manners as of trifling consequence. But those little sins eat out the life of godliness in the soul. Well, it began with just a little sin. A young lady in the garden talking to a creature there in the tree, a tree that she'd been told to stay away from. This creature, by the way, it didn't look like a snake. It was a beautiful, what woman would talk to a snake? I'm sure it was a beautiful creature at that time. And so, paraphrasing, the creature said to her, "Go ahead and eat it. It will give you greater knowledge and even make you like your God. Just a little thing, a piece of fruit. Go ahead and eat it." And she did. A little thing, a piece of fruit. But look at the terrible devastation of over six millenniums of time that that little sin created. And we're seeing a complete explosion of it in our recent times. Piece of fruit. Little things do mean a lot. But along with the devastating effects of that little sin, there was a promise. As God was there in the garden, giving the results of what would happen because of our first parents' act of sin, then he promised them something. A little thing would eventually bring victory and restoration to a lost planet. Right there, speaking to that old demon, he gave him this warning. Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head," that's a mortal blow, "and you shall bruise his heel." We know the seed of the woman. A little baby would one day be born in a simple manger, become a man, and give his life as a payment for the sins of the entire lost race, your sins and mine. Micah puts it this way in Micah 5, verse 2, "But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." That prediction, along with many, many more, of the coming of a Savior who would redeem a lost race, to me is the theme of the entire Old Testament. In fact, it's the theme of the Bible, isn't it? This promise, to me, if you want to put it in just one little package, is summed up what I consider to be the most important verse in the Bible. You know it. Let's say it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Think of that, folks. God, the creator, the ruler of the universe. I mean, the immensity of this can't even begin to be imagined even. He so loved. He so highly valued, this world, this tiny speck of dust in the vastness of space, that he gave his only son. A gift beyond comprehension totally. He gave his only son that whoever, that means an invitation that is open to everyone. It's open to you and to you, to me. It's open to everyone. Whoever would accept that gift wouldn't perish, although that's what we deserve, but have eternal life. If you haven't accepted that gift before today, do it now. Dear people, little things do mean a lot. This is a truth that's revealed all through the Bible. I'll just take a look at some examples. There's a young man herding sheep. He's working for his father-in-law. A young man, did I say? He's only 80 years old. And I don't want to mention it too much, but I think that is just a young man. I won't go into details. There he was, herding sheep, and he looks across, and there's a bush that's all burning and burning and burning and burning, and he wonders, what's going on there? You know, bushes don't just keep burning, so he finally gets up and goes over to see what's happening. And just as he gets there, he hears his voice, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Ooh, wow. So he takes off his shoes quick. And then he's told, you've been chosen to take my people and lead them out of the land of bondage there in Egypt. Now, like he says, who, me? Who am I, Lord, that you should send me? Well, God said to him, he didn't argue, and he just says, what's in your hand, Moses? Well, he's a staff, a rod, shepherd's rod. And God says, okay, show me your rod. And here God, the almighty maker of heaven and earth, he's just asking for a simple rod of a shepherd. But what he did with it, first he turns it into a snake, and then back again. And then it became the symbol of the rescue of God's chosen people. Wow. With the power of God, a simple shepherd's rod became a mighty tool of rescue and salvation. Little things, what? Mean a lot. Here we have two armies facing each other. Two mountains, valley between. On one side, there's this big giant, 9.5 feet tall. His armor weighed 125 pounds. And there he's around, strutting around, shouting and boasting and all that stuff. And he yells out, you know, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Well, you can imagine how a bold king and his soldiers responded. Who's going to go? Not me. But there's a young guy there. His name was David. He'd just come to visit his brothers. And he looks around. Why aren't you going out and fight that guy? Who, me? No, not me. Even the king was, you know, kind of hiding a bit. Finally, David says, okay, I'll go. And everybody looks at him. Are you crazy? I mean, you're just a kid. But he went. Just a staff, a sling, 5 smooth stones, he faced the monster. And you can imagine how he responded. He just started laughing and telling, oh, you're just a kid. Hey, you think your God can help you? He didn't laugh long. One swing of that sling and whew, boom, right in the head. And down he went, dead. Yes, young man, a little sling, a few stones. A great victory for God's chosen people. My dear people, I tell you this again, little things mean a lot. David wrote about it, or something like it, in Psalm 37, verses 16 and 17. He says, A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Take a hold of his arm. He'll hold you up. Now, the concept of little things producing big results really was the theme of all the teachings of Jesus, wasn't it? How many times Jesus was talking to the people, he talked about little things, small things. Remember, he talked to people one day there, they were getting hungry. Of course, they'd been there all day. I think the disciples themselves were getting hungry. They didn't always have a great concern for the people. So one of them went to Jesus and said, "Hey, the people are getting hungry. We better send them home and get something to eat," because they wanted something to eat themselves, right? And so Jesus told him, "Well, you give them something to eat." "Really?" And of course, one of them finally stood up and said, "Well, he said, "Do you have any food?" "Well, this little boy." Isn't that imagine? This little boy was given a lunch by his mommy, and he comes to visit and sits all day with Jesus, didn't even eat his lunch. And then he walks up and he says, "I'd like to give this to Jesus." Children, don't hesitate. He accepts your little gifts as well. And so Jesus took those, five loaves, but I think they were more like biscuits, and a couple of fish, divided it up, fed in crowd. They said 5,000, but they weren't counting ladies then. So there's probably more than like 10,000. 10,000 people with a little lunch and they had leftovers. How about that? A little later, 4,000 people with what? 7 loaves and a few fish, and again, they had leftovers. One day, there was a little lady, a widow, who came to the temple and kind of just dropped her coins in the offering there. She didn't think anybody saw her, but Jesus did, and he made her the object of real giving. And then he describes a woman in one of his stories, looking for a very precious small coin. She searched and searched and searched, and then finally found it and was rejoicing. And of course, that story about a shepherd finding his little lost sheep. Who's that lost sheep? Who's that lost coin? I am. Are you? If you haven't let him do it today, let him find you. Yes, Jesus talked about small things in life, how important they are in our faith growing. Because he knew that it's small things that lead to big changes. One of his parables, the parable of the mustard seed, is one of the best illustrations of that. In Matthew 13, 31, 32, he told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." Wasn't Jesus a wonderful storyteller? Oh, how I envy those people who sat there and listened to him many times all day. How he used those parables to picture the real story of the Bible and the teachings. And here in this story, he reminds us that a mustard seed is about as small a start as you can get, right? And yet it grows. Not only becomes the biggest garden plant, it actually becomes a tree. A small seed becomes a full-grown tree, fulfilling its purpose in life. You and I have a purpose in life. Sometimes it seems so big. The goal is so far away. But in this story, as well as many others, he shows us that we have to start somewhere. It might seem like a little start, like a mustard seed. It's all you and I need to do is to plant it and nurture it, and let it grow until it brings about the results. We can change the entire course of our life by simply making one small change and sticking to it. We're like the mustard seed, aren't we? Sometimes we're in that stage of life. We just keep going forward, pressing on to the bigger things. I mean, think of the problems we're facing. Oh, I wanted to share this statement here. The little things are preparation and testing for bigger things. But if you look at the world problems we have today, aren't they terrible? I mean, it almost makes you sick to watch the news. We have war problems, economic problems, unemployment problems, family problems, personal problems. They seem such almost completely, without hope, overwhelming. People say nothing can be done, and there's nothing we can do. Nothing on our own. You say, I can't do it. Jesus says, that's not the truth. Because little things do mean a lot when he says this, do what you can. Make your mark. Offer to God what you have, however much it is. And he says, then leave the rest to me. Leave the rest to me. What is it you have to offer? What is that I have to offer? Great things? Do we have great talents, great ability, great goodness? Well, sometimes people think they do, but it's not really true, is it? Those who think they do, well, God may not be able to use, can't use them. Well, the most important thing is that we realize our greatest abilities are small. So small in comparison to what God really is. God does not ask for greatness, for strength, even for goodness. And I'm thankful for that, because what is my goodness? Like filthy rags. Our talents and abilities, weak and feeble. Well, the Bible says it, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And Paul adds this as far as his testimony. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow. You see, the secret is not in who we are or what we are, but in our dedication and surrender to him, and turning over all that we are for his use, for his purpose. This is the secret. It's not whether we've been given 10 talents or 5 talents or 1 talent, but whether we're willing to release that talent into the hand of God to let him make use of the little things as he chooses. He asks only for us. For us, as he created us. He decides who we are, what we are, what abilities, aptitudes, and gifts that we have. We decide whether we're going to willingly give what we are, who we are, back to him. It's really simple, isn't it? God made us. He made you, he made you. He loves us. He loves you. With a love you can't begin to imagine. He has made every provision for our salvation. And all he wants in return is our love and devotion and trust. He knows just what can be accomplished with the little that we have to offer him. It all depends upon our willingness, whether or not we are going to give him free rein, whether or not we're willing to say, here's my little, Lord, cast it down, break it up, hurl it out as you see fit. Only then will we be of use to the Master. Only then will we find the fulfillment and the contentment in life. Only then will we be given freedom. Freedom. And that is freedom released to serve. Released to serve. Isn't that what you want? It's what I want. that freedom in my life, that freedom in your life. I don't know you, but sometimes you get tired of feeling weak and inadequate, don't you? Weary of struggling in our own strength, always falling short, sometimes feeling guilty. Remember, God made us. He knows our shortcomings, our frailties. He is the only one who can take our little bit and make it of something of worth to anyone and everyone. So folks, let's stop struggling to be more than we are. We need His strength, His wisdom, His power. All we have to do is release who we are, what we are, into the loving, trustworthy hand and arms of our God. Accept what He has in mind for us. You know, it really can be easy. In fact, sometimes you might say, why didn't I realize it before? Little things mean a lot. God takes what is small and makes it mighty, as He did when He sent our Savior into this world as a little tiny baby. That little baby turned the world upside down and has changed life forever. That little baby was and is the source of life for you and me, real, true, abundant, and best of all, eternal life. So, here's the challenge. Go forth today from this place. Offer what you have, however little it may be, because God will take what you give and make it more than enough. Remember again, little things in the hands of God mean a lot. You may have already guessed, the young lady in my introduction who had that experience on an airplane is the one who sang at the beginning of my sermon. And so I'd like to close by sharing her personal testimony that came about as a result of that experience. She wrote this. This experience really opened my eyes to the way God works. We serve a living God, one who gives us people to minister to everywhere around us as an abundant supply of opportunities. So many times we take the real missionaries, ones who are actively out there spreading the gospel, for granted, not realizing that we don't have to go to foreign countries to speak about Jesus and His love, but rather in as small of a place as an airplane. God will work with you. He knows what your strong points are as well as the weak ones. Don't think for one second that He can't use you, because that point was proven centuries ago with Moses and continues to be proven to this day. If you're a committed Seventh-day Adventist, you know the duty God has given us. Let's all work together to bring our Savior back so we can finally go home. That testimony that with the help of God, little things mean a lot.